Good morning. I think we're going to get started. Welcome to the Innovation Theater session, Celebrate Life's Big Moments, Building Long-Term Brand Loyalty in Housewares. Homepage News Editor-in-Chief Peter Giannetti will lead a discussion with Newell Brands' Summer Lee Stern, who is Senior Director of Shopper Insights, in which will be revealed exclusive consumer research and strategic insights to illustrate how the housewares business can connect with key consumer life occasions and so build long-term consumer loyalty and drive renewable sales growth. Peter, if you please.
Thank you, Mike, and good morning, everyone. We do appreciate you coming out first thing this morning. We're going to talk about life's big moments, and one of the biggest moments in your life right now is understanding why tapping into the consumer as they're entering the housewares market may become the most important thing you do in building a long-term brand strategy. And we're going to get into that today with Summer Lee Stern from Newell Brands, who will share some insights that Newell, which owns many brands in this business, and how they've pulled those brands together by taking a look at how the consumer celebrates their life moments. And we'll get into that strategy and some of the research findings. But before we do that, Homepage News is a business-to-business news platform that is run by the International Housewares Association, and I'm the editor-in-chief of Homepage News. I'm also the director of education and content with the IHA, which runs the Inspired Home Show. We worked together with Newell Brands to put together a special report that was published on homepagenews.com earlier this year. It is called the Occasions Report, and it was a detailed study that we did with consumers that took a look at, A, how they are planning to celebrate various life occasions in the coming year. We did this last year, too, and we did this because coming out of the pandemic, there were a lot of sort of celebrations that were put off, postponed, changed, whatever, by the pandemic. And we saw a renewal of those celebrations last year, and we saw even more of it coming into this year. And these are not just birthday celebrations, which happen every year, or anniversaries. Those are important celebrations for the housewares industry to participate in. These were life moments. So we looked at weddings and occasions related to weddings, which whether that was showers, engagement. We looked at home ownership as a life moment. We looked at pet ownership as a life moment. We looked at going to college or going to school as a life moment. We looked at retirement as a life moment. These are things that are sort of once in a lifetime moments, but they are not just once. And Summer Lee's gonna get into that. I don't wanna get into the details of all the findings of the Occasions Report. I gave some of you my business card when you walked in, and those who didn't, my business card and Mike's business card, Mike works for Homepage News as well, are at the front. I encourage you to go to homepagenews.com and do a search by occasions. You'll see all of the data that we have in the analysis that shows, yes, consumers, people are celebrating these life moments again. They have a desire to kind of get out and do these things. Some of them, like weddings, you know, we saw this postponement of weddings through the heart of the pandemic. They picked up and that activity. But we didn't just look at frequency. Now, I will tell you this. Versus last year, the frequency of some of these life moment occasions kind of dropped a little bit in terms of expected celebration, whether you were going to celebrate it yourself or whether you were going to a friend's or a family member's celebration. And that didn't really surprise us because we did see a renewal of a lot of these celebrations in 2022. But what hasn't changed is the opportunity for the home and housewares business to connect with these celebrations. It's not as simple as gift registry. That's part of it, and participating in that. But it's actually taking that moment where you connect with the consumer with a life moment, whether maybe it is a wedding, and that's the start of it. And now building a relationship with that consumer through all of their life moments. We found that consumers want to buy home and housewares products for these life moments. They need them, they want them. This is, some of it's traditional. It's a little bit about, you know, equipping the first home. But some of it's not so traditional. It's not always the products you expect them to be. Do you think of how cookware as a opportunity for a life moment might integrate with home organization, might integrate even with baby products? There's this connection that makes this a lifestyle-driven relationship, not a transactionally-driven relationship. So with that, again, I encourage you to look at the occasions report. We'll answer some questions about that. The real purpose that brought us together this morning is Newell worked with us as a sponsor of the occasions report. And a little background here. I'm beginning to talk about developing the occasions report with my team. And I happen to have a member of the Newell board on the, a member of the Newell executive team on the Newell board. And as I'm talking about the, we're building this research project around occasions and life moments and how people in this industry have a new opportunity to tap into this. He gets me on the phone and says, that's what we're doing. He kind of validated, it made me feel good that we're doing something that made sense, but he kind of validated that this is an opportunity that may be underutilized, under-realized, and it could be the next big opportunity. And while we are talking with Newell, Newell sponsored our occasions report, and there, and we will share insights from the Newell perspective and some of their strategy. This is really not just about Newell. This is about an opportunity for the entire industry. So I want to turn the conversation over to Summerlee. And Summerlee, I think the best way to get started is tell us how you got started in taking us down this path of understanding the consumer, their life moments, and why that's important.
Sounds good. Thank you, everybody. So from a Newell's perspective, we thought about this and starting thinking about in a macro sense. So I'm going to share this first slide. So when I say macro, I'm talking from the U.S. perspective. There's over 330 million Americans. And when you break that down, it makes up 128 million households. And for our perspective, we're also really interested in those family households. So there's 84 million households that have children under the age of 18. So then we wanted to overlay that with what our business is. And from our research, we know that approximately, and I would guess more, but approximately 80% of those households have at least one of our products in our portfolio in their home currently. So when we started thinking about that, we started thinking about the opportunity to think broader. And so what we said is, hey, our brands play a key role in the lives of nearly every household. So let's understand what they need, what their lifestyles are, and what their human, kind of taking it from the consumer to the human, and that's how we came up with the idea of life moments. So in doing so, we identified 12 moments. Many of them overlap with the occasions that Peter was just talking about, but I would love to take you through those life moments just at the highest level and give you some information around why we did this.
Can you hear me? Summerlee, before you get started,
yeah.
What did Newell confront strategically that made going down this route essential? And
yeah.
It may not apply to all of you in the audience, but it's important to understand how it worked for Newell.
Yes, thank you. So as Peter mentioned, Newell's got a number of brands that we in our portfolio. Each of them are very iconic, things like Sharpie, Graco Baby, Kelphalon, Crock-Pot. So we have a massive portfolio of brands, and it was really sometimes hard to understand why our portfolio went together. And so if we said, we've got these iconic brands, but we started to realize the power is in the portfolio. When we start talking to our customers, when we start talking to our consumers, the power is how these things go together and not any one individual brand. They're all really important, but the power is that connective tissue in our portfolio. So that's why we went down this line.
Now, I don't know the makeup of the people in our audience today. You may have one brand. You may be on the marketing side. You may be on the merchandising side. You may be on the product development side. So your challenge may not be the same as Newell's with regard to how to pull together this barrel of brands. But That doesn't mean you don't have an opportunity, not just to tie into the business with your own specific interests. It may be a brand, it may be a retailing, it may be a product development opportunity. But I actually think this is a time for alliances and looking for other people who may not be in your particular category, but that kind of fit in this sort of continuum of life moments. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing this industry is at an inflection point right now. It went through steep, steep gains, just transactional gains. If you had it, you could sell it during the height of the pandemic. Then it confronted supply chain issues. Then it confronted inflation. And it was a tough year in general for a lot of people, still better than pre-pandemic levels for housewares. But 2023 is a time where, when you're down a little bit, and the math doesn't look so good versus the previous year, that's an inflection point. That's how do you trigger growth? How do you renew growth? How do you renew demand? So that's a combination of new product innovation, which I think we'll see a lot more. It's a function of new marketing and merchandising innovation, and it's really a function of getting closer to your consumer. That end consumer is in control, connecting with them with the things that matter the most. And I think this is going to be a year where it might be about winning market share, it might be about driving new growth, looking at something differently like this life moment strategy, which is really kind of unique. I mean, we know it's there, but we never pulled it all together, taking sort of the Newell model and adapting it to your business. Sorry for that, no. Ms. Corris, but I wanted to give them a little perspective because it may not apply. Why don't you take us through the
And to build moments. Off of what you just said, though, it's also thinking beyond the life moments and what are the occasions that your products serve in our consumers' lives. So you might think about your marketing and how you're talking to them in a very maybe functional features and benefits perspective. But I think if you start thinking about when your products play key roles in their lives, whether it's in the life moments or whether it's kind of in the day-to-day, that might open up new opportunities that you weren't previously thinking about. And again, creating that emotional connection and not just the functional connection, right. I think is really critical.
Go ahead.
Okay, so with that, let me walk you through our 12 life moments. I'm gonna go through them relatively quickly. But when we were thinking about life moments, we thought, where do you start? And for us, it was when they became making, when they're making the decisions on their own for the first time. So for us, we think that's when they went to college. We can say, again, with our portfolio, we could have started with when they were, you know, having baby or when they're a baby, but we thought about this from when they're starting to be the consumer and the shopper. So in life moments, we know that each year, about 3 million college freshmen enter their school in the US. And each year, they're spending almost $2,000 preparing their dorms. Yes, some of that is your basic back-to-school needs, your pens, your pencils, your computers. But think about what they need to help create that dorm room feel a little bit more like home. So things like coffee makers, maybe some air purifiers, bedding. These are the things that they want just to make them feel a little bit more like home. But we know college is pretty short-lived. They quickly move on to creating their first apartment. And then for those lucky enough to find their, you know, perfect match, we think about getting into engagement and wedding, which I know aligns to the occasion report. From a Newell perspective, we started to look at the top things that are on wedding registries, and it aligned very well to our portfolio. Whether that's cookware, bakeware, small appliances, it really aligns well to what we have in our portfolio. Then we help them establish their lives. So this is talking about getting their first home and ultimately expecting and welcoming their first child. So each year there's about 4 million babies born. And among those 4 million babies, most of those parents create a baby registry. Just like our engagement and wedding registry, we know that our products align to the baby registry very well. And they're spending about $2,100 on their baby registry. But for this perspective, the other thing to think about is what changes in your life when you have that baby. You need simplicity, you need ease, you need things to make your life easier to help manage that new child. Then, as families grow, so does net worth, and so does the size of their home in many occasions. So then we look at upgraded home. So I think the other thing in our portfolio is you're gonna see a lot of moves that happen through their life moments. And in fact, the average American moves 12 times in their lifetime. And each time they move, outside of setting it up there the first time, which is about $16,000 that they'll spend on setting up their first home, each time they move, they're spending over $5,000 setting up their new appliances, upgrading their things that they have. So this is a big opportunity for us. Then ultimately, we see them expanding their family and then getting ready for that milestone of the first day of school. For us, this is a big deal too. We have a big writing portfolio in our learning development. But there's also other things that come with this. Think about being able to make those quick breakfasts or creating those healthy lunches. And for us, it's putting that into food storage containers as well. But we also know that getting ready for back to school, on average, the average family is spending over $900. That's not all in pens and pencils. They're using it on a lot of other things as well. Then we start seeing them evolve into more of their golden years. So here we see a rise of purchasing second homes. This could be investment properties, this could be vacation properties, or in some cases, possibly due to divorce. But again, they need the goods to help set their homes up, these second homes up. Those first days of school come to an end, and they soon find themselves as empty nesters, and that will eventually...
I'm an empty nester right now. It's a wonderful thing.
And eventually they become grandparents if they're lucky. So here, this was a surprising statistic. 80 million grandparents in the U.S., and on average they report, according to AARP, spending $2,500 a year on their grandkids. Some of this is because of gifting. They like to dote on them. But a lot of them are becoming the caretaker for these grandchildren. So think about, it's almost cyclical coming back to that first child, and these grandparents are setting up their homes to be able to take care of those grandkids. So that's kind of the idea of life moments. And while we have it set out linearly, I want to just say, these things don't happen in a straight line. You're going to skip around. And especially when we start to think about the Gen Z consumer, they're not following this path anymore. The first child might become, you know, before the first apartment. They might not even hit the wedding. But, you know, we just need to think about this, and that's why we say take a human-centric approach to what we're doing and really understand who your consumer is and where they are in their life moments.
Somerly said that to me earlier. We use the word consumer-centric a lot. It was really the first time I heard someone say a human-centric approach, and that changes the dynamic a little bit from a buyer to a liver, someone who's living their life as opposed to someone who's just shopping. And you have, that subtle difference actually makes a big difference. I'm not sure if you have a slide that goes next into you. You've sort of bundled some of these ideas. Is that in your
report? Yeah. So the other thing I want to say here is, like I said, people don't just live in these life moments. Actually, I was going to stop and ask. I went through those life moments. I would love to see a show of hands. How many of you in the last year or in this upcoming year are going to go through one of those life moments? Yeah, when we talk to consumers, 80% are going through one of these life moments within a 12-month period. And in some cases, they're going through multiple. That said, we think it's more about the in-between moments, where they're living their lives. So in this case, we thought of this in two forms. And you can almost think about these as like Lego blocks that can build on each other as we think about activation and talking to our retailer partners. But we thought about occasions in terms of in the home and out of the home. These are the things that are happening on a day-to-day basis. We need to not only service those life moments, but speak to them in a way that we can create value in their day-to-day, because this is where they're living. So as you can see from our brands, our portfolio here, we layered on to life moments, but we also layered on here to show you how our portfolio can hit through each of these occasions. And so that's where we start thinking about the value when we talk to retailers about how we can provide a different relationship with their our consumers and their shoppers. And so, to your point, we thought about activation too. How do you start activating on these life moments? They're big. They're happening in many cases any time of the year. And there's 12. So it's like, how do we start telling a different story? So what we're starting to do right now is start to understand what we're calling the micro moments under each of those life moments. And that's where we start thinking about how do we activate. So let me give you a quick example of what that looks like. If we take going to college as an example, okay, we know the typical back to school time period. That happens in all of our retailers. The incremental opportunity there is not that great. But when we start thinking about that first year of college and all the micro moments that can be happening, we start to think about some sub opportunities or micro moments that we can start talking in a differentiated way, and we can start talking about incremental value. So in this case, we start with graduation. So they're graduating from high school. Many of them have graduation parties. Why don't we think about this as an opportunity for them for gifting? So can they create a registry that's going to help set them up for their college experience? Then we go into the traditional time period where we're already probably activating. And then we start thinking about it. Once they get to the college and they're on move-in, they're going to forget something. They need different organization. They're going to need other things. Or in the case of where you might be flying to your college, you're not going to carry all that with you. So think about it as a shipping opportunity, or in some cases where you can start thinking about local activation on retailers that are close to that college campus for those last minute needs. And then not only thinking about that, we can think about when they return to school in January, they need to restock. And then, you know, we could even take this further. Think about spring break, think about college tailgating. You can start thinking about all those micro moments that happen underneath it.
I have a question for the audience on this. In your mind, the traditional back to school promotional period? When does that begin? Go ahead. Okay, so it may be starting earlier than that. Maybe it's end of July or middle of July. As we go into August, what does that slide actually tell you? Don't think of the back to school period as a 6-week period right now. Mm-hmm. Understand that the consumer who's going, and their family and their friends who are going to college, are making decisions at many moments, many times of the year. And I think that's an important change. When we talk about promotional cycles, this industry has been locked in for many years to traditional promotional cycles. Mm-hmm. Black Friday, well, is Black Friday in June now, or is it in November now? Mm-hmm. Promotion is a year-round event. And I think that's actually, as we move toward creative promotional and we break down that schedule and that strategy, very hard to do if you've been doing it that way for 50 years and if retailers are buying a certain way for 50 years. It's just so hard in that kind of linear approach to sales and marketing and merchandising. The life moment opportunity actually helps kind of liberate you from a promotional standpoint. Mm-hmm. And you got to work with your customers to get that. I was blown away when Summerlee shared that with me the other day, because I have to get out of that traditional thinking as well, too. I know you may not have a slide. Are there other situations if we go to another occasion where we have to kind of break down that traditional that schedule, if you will?
Yeah, let's think about first home. Okay, yes, upon move-in, there's a lot of needs. And so you can break it down by that. But then let's start to think about it as all the firsts that happen within that first home, whether that might be hosting your first holiday gathering. Okay, well, now you can even break that down a step further. What is the things that you're gonna need for prep? What are the things that you're gonna need for cook? And what are the things you're gonna need for store? So all of a sudden, we took a life moment and we said, okay, let's help them from a holiday entertaining perspective, and we can still break that story down based on the needs that that consumer has during that micro moment. So all of a sudden, now you can start putting a story together. And then for us, one of the things that we're thinking about are, in our portfolio, we've got a lot of conversion driver products and brands, but we have a lot of basket builders too. And so how do we start telling that story to consumers that we can leverage our conversion drivers, but then bring in some of those basket builders as well? So for example, first home, we know our cookware. We know some of our small appliances. Those things are our conversion drivers. They need those when they go into their home. But what if we set up, next to our Mr. Coffee makers, some of our Contigo travel mugs? Those are our basket builders. And now we can help them create a full solution based off of what they're actually doing and what their needs are, and not just what they kind of maybe put on their list to go to the store to grab. So now again, you're telling a story, you're creating engagement, and you're also building baskets, what they might not be doing otherwise.
Two questions along those lines. How do you tell the story? What are you doing differently now to tell that story?
So I think, like I said, I think if we think about consumers in general, I think all of us in the room are probably thinking about them far more often than they're thinking about us. So when I think about this, I think about, we typically talk about the functional benefits of our products. What does it deliver? How is it superior? How is the quality great? I think we need to start to create that loyalty and create that engagement, start talking a little bit more about those emotional needs, the trust, the comfort, you know, in some cases, alignment to their values and things like that.
Where are you telling the story? In other words,
so
what media?
That's a good question. Yeah. So I think you're limited in some of our retailers, and that's what we're finding. That said, I think Omni Activation has opened up a lot of opportunities to speak to our shoppers in a different way. And then the other piece of this is, as we start activating our life moments, we're really thinking about our brand assets. So how do we start telling that story through our brand marketing and becoming more emotional? And then that can also ultimately lead to a broader activation in retail.
I don't think we have it today, but back to the occasions report and homepage news, and that's my fault, I should have brought it here and I didn't do that. We did a webinar about a month or so ago, and I encourage all of you to go to homepagenews.com. When you search for occasions report, you will see the webinar. There is a commercial, a little video at the beginning of that webinar that Newell prepared as part of their sponsorship, which sort of underscores the message Summerlee's giving you right now. It's not about how many buttons are on a blender, and it really talks about the consumer, but it does it in such a way that it's telling a business-to-business story. It's not just a consumer ad per se. This is the this is a business-to-business challenge that is tied directly to the consumer.
Yeah. The way we think about this is, I think you can look at it, what is the benefit to the shopper or the consumer? What is the benefit to us as a manufacturer? And what is the benefit to the retailer? So from a shopper's perspective, like I said, 80% of them are living in one of these life moments at any given time, and I guarantee you 100% of them are living in those occasions. So for them, the value is really giving them time back, making it easy, putting it together for them. And then also, they might not realize it, but that emotional connection, you're talking to them in a different way. From a manufacturer's perspective, for us, like I mentioned, it's also the connective tissue in our portfolio. And now this allows us to have more strategic conversations with our customers, our retailers, in terms of how do we really leverage our entire portfolio. So again, it's more about elevating from consumer-centric to human-centric. You're not getting rid of that consumer-centric. You still need those antes, the quality of your products, the durability, but now you're gonna find a different way to engage with them. And from a retailer's perspective, this brings in CLV. This is consumer lifetime value for them. You can start thinking about how they can continue that engagement with the shopper throughout their life moments. And with the advancement of where technology is and AI and data availability, now you can start thinking
Are you collecting names and numbers and addresses? And I mean, that's...
Our D2C business is not over, like, it's not strong right now. But this is where the partnership with our retailers come in.
Right.
We set up the framework. They buy into this, and all of a sudden, now we get access to data. We get kind of first dibs at creating some of these engagement calendars with them. So that's where we start seeing it. But I think it's the same thing. If you have a direct-to-consumer business, you can start thinking about that CLV that this can give you.
What you talk about buy-in. Is buy-in difficult at the manufacturer side? You're a very large company, and that's obviously wrought with all of its challenges across different units. Was there a challenge getting buy-in across the organization? Are the retailers listening to the message right now?
I would say twofold. I would say internally, it took a little bit of selling in because we're in love with our brands. We love our brands. We have a lot of pride in our brands. They're iconic. And to start thinking about the power of this is really in the portfolio. So you still tell a brand story. That does not go away. But how do we level up that brand story? So I think that was something that it took a little bit of time, but I think everyone now sees the value of this.
How about the retailers?
Yeah. So we've had great luck. We have a great experience with these retailers. They get this. They see the potential from a consumer lifetime value that this can bring. They can get how they can tell different stories and put things together that they previously might not have been able to do. This is not completely new. I would say in the CPG world, this is happening. But those are the day-to-day. Those are kind of more your rote purchases. And so it's like breaking those things down from like a PepsiCo perspective. This is already kind of happening over there. Bringing it into more on the durable side, I think, is new. So they are definitely wanting to partner with us on this.
Good. That's the last of the slides.
That's the last of my slides, yeah.
I could keep asking questions, but I'm known to do that. So let me... is there some questions? Do we have we have the cube here, or is that? Or I can always come out. You got it, Mike? Okay.
Yeah. Any questions?
So, come up, Mike, up here. Hold on a second.
Hello, can you hear me? You've kind of circled around this, but do you have any thoughts on e-commerce and building this kind of? Bigger solution. I can see it in brick and mortar on an end cap and telling this larger story across brands and stuff. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes when you're on Amazon and you're looking for a blender and it's just a page of blenders coming up, do you have any thoughts on building that larger story in e-com where you're just another thing on the page?
Mm-hmm. It's a great question and one that we are working through right now. So I would say with some retailers, it's going to be a little bit easier. So for the Targets and the Walmarts of the world, think about their app. You have kind of those tiles up in front. Now all of a sudden you can tell a life moment story in those tiles, click into that and have a curated selection of products that we know align to those life moments. So from an e-com perspective, as we're thinking about our partnership with our retailers, I think there's easier opportunities. Amazon, where a lot of our business is happening, is a little harder to do that. So things like where we have brand pages on Amazon, we can start telling those stories. And then we do a lot of cross promotion as well. So if you are, you know, looking at a Coleman tent, for example, we might have some ads that also link to other things that we know go with that kind of out of the home occasion. So that's kind of where we're thinking about this right now. But I'll tell you, in some cases, it's easier to think about this. In others, it's a little bit harder. But we are working through that right now. But that's kind of what we're thinking.
Are you changing? I know you're not focused on D2C here, and that's not the focal point, but do you have to sort of evolve your D2C to kind of make this all integrated? And to add on to his question, you mentioned that you can see it on an end cap at retail, but I think the challenge is making sure the end cap, the websites, the social media, all of those marketing elements or communication elements and merchandise elements tell the exact same story. There's a continuity to it as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
To your point, we don't have, most of our brands don't have direct-to-consumer capabilities. We have more like catalog pages. So we do have landing pages for our products, but we don't sell them there. I think one of the things that we're challenging our organization with is what is kind of that always on? What is our calendar of communications? So what is the national stories that we're going to be telling? And then how do we make sure that those are linked into our consumer, our retailer activations? And so to your point, having that continuity, so no matter which touch point they're going to, they're seeing some similar stories. Again, I think at the retailer level, that's a lot easier. Whatever story we're telling at Walmart on .com or on their app, we can start telling that same story in store. Now, I'll say the one thing is you say end caps are easy. They're actually more difficult than you think, right? Using Walmart as an example, where they have rules about like everything needs to be around the same at the same price point to be on an end cap. When you think about our portfolio and you think about conversion drivers and basket builders, that becomes difficult. How do we get them all at the same price point? So again, there's things that we're working around.
Those are those traditional barriers we talked about earlier. That listen, it's hard to convince a Walmart to change their end cap strategy, but you can start talking with them about that, and all of a sudden something opens up, and maybe that actually changes the way they think about the entire mix or the entire strategy across the board. Any other questions right now?
I'd like to ask a question.
Sure.
I've been sitting through several sessions here talking about various kinds of social, or rather market research. And one of the things that I thought was interesting from opportunity perspective was millennials shop online more frequently than any other group, you know, more than once a week. And we keep talking about storytelling. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had TikTok here about, you know, their extension of storytelling. It just seems as if, you know, And obviously, Newell, because of its distribution, has to address its retailers first. But do you see this as an opportunity to build through onto online, to do more, to do and help the retailers do more to sell the occasions and the micro occasions? Mm-hmm. Because, and then link, you know, link that. I mean, everything's connected now. Are all of those opportunities in mind?
They are, yes. And in fact, at Newell, we actually created something, we were talking about this earlier, we created our Newell Kitchen. And that is actually a platform or a location that we can start making a lot more of that social media content. But you're right, think about the modern consumer journey, shopper journey. I mean, it's all over, right? But how do we start linking what they're doing? So to your example, you know, let's say it's someone looking to prepare their first home. They're going first to TikTok to be inspired or Pinterest to be inspired. So how do we make sure that we're talking to the right influencers or getting our products into those messages? Then they might go to the Walmarts of the world. And how do we think about that? It's like, hey, maybe we can help them with a first home shopping list that's branded with our products or co-branded with other retail or other manufacturers. And so now all of a sudden, now that shopper's like, I know I can get what I need at Walmart. I'm going to go to Walmart. Then they walk in, they see their end cap that is aligned to what they're doing. You know, they might want some of those things delivered to their home, so then they can go online and shop either on Amazon or Walmart.com and have that shipped to their house. It is about linking all of this, because when we think about that journey, it's not linear, it's not in one channel. And so I think we do need to do a better job of linking that, but because it is so disconnected at times, it's hard to get it always there. But I think if we know what they're searching, what they're trying to accomplish, we can be more strategic about where we put those messages.
Here you go. Hold on just a moment so we can all hear you.
Are you finding when promoting lifestyle, especially for many of the categories, that if something's going to fit right for their life, that promoting durability and responsibility more or less bubble to the top more than other things such as feature benefits and other occasion-based type of marketing promotions?
I didn't hear the question because I'm sorry. I was over. What was that again? I'm sorry.
Are you finding when promoting something that's right for lifestyle that durability and responsibility more or less take a higher priority for
I think he's asking
consumers?
About it's a value equation.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, here's my thought on this is depending on the price point they're looking at, right? I think they have different expectations of what they're looking for. So I think it really changes. So I think when we think about a kind of our good, better, best portfolio of products, at that good phase, it's what's going to get the job done. And so I don't think there's as much emotional benefit or emotional needs at that point. But as you move up and you start to upgrade into that better and best category, then that's where I think things like alignment to values, distinctiveness, design, because I think what they're, from our perspective in our categories, once you're at a certain price point, you expect the durability, you expect the quality. So those are just the antes to get into the category at that price point for a lot of consumers. I think where they're going to start thinking about it differently is more on those lifestyle elements, how it connects to them. Does it fit from an aesthetic perspective? So from my perspective, that's where I don't know if I'm answering your question, but that's the way we're kind of thinking about it. You have the functional needs that are more important at the lower end, and then there's expectations that those functional needs are going to be delivered at the higher end, and then it becomes more emotional.
I think the opportunity is that the values change as you kind of move through these life stages. So it's not just one thing that will drive a purchase. It may that going into the apartment for the first time, it might be more of a price point driven strategy. But you kind of graduate through life, you graduate in your values, what's important to you. And that I think the key here is durability is important, but we also want to sell them something again in a few years. Is you move lock into those social responsibilities, durability, all these values, but make sure you're just staying with them, stay connected with them, because when their values change, that's the moment of opportunity to try to trade them into a new product or sell them a different thing. So it's an interesting question, and I think lifetime moment strategy helps widen the scope on reaching them at all parts of their lives.
Yeah, and we talk about loyalty in a little bit, and I think that's where also loyalty comes into play here. If we serve them well at the $19.99 coffee maker, Are they going to be more likely to trust us when they move up to that $79 or even the $200 coffee maker? That's the other thing, is like you're creating that trust. For me, I'm like, hey, brands, I think, need to become more real. They need to become more human. It's about creating that comfort, creating that trust, creating that authenticity. So as they move and you have different price point products, they're going to continue to say, this is the brand I trust and the one I want to go keep going back to.
Right here.
Changing to this focus, did you find that your assortment planning needed to change, and how did this affect your assortment, and also is it delivering growth?
That's another good question.
It's a great question. Yeah. I'm going to say we're probably too early in on this to answer that efficiently, but I think a couple things. Yes, I think it's going to change assortment. I think, again, when we're talking with our retailers, it's elevating it to a more strategic conversation, and that allows us to think about what we're putting in and what we're selling in differently with them. So I think it's too early to say, because this is only a couple months old, and we're going in through our first activations now, and so I think we'll see the kind of the ROI coming out.
I think, frankly, you'll miss the whole point if you don't let that define and develop the product line. Yep. Right over here.
I'm curious if in the future you see the brands kind of aligning more on a color story. My daughter is 13 now, but I could see when she goes to college that she may want a Mr. Coffee maker in like a purple, then a complimentary Contigo mug and Sharpies to create this beautiful coordinated look. So I'm just wondering about the cooperation between the brands.
I think we're gonna see a lot more of that. And to your point, I also think from a retailer perspective, there's different expectations, right? It's like when we think about the Walmarts of the world, not that they don't deliver on the design element, but they're really good at the functional stuff, right? They're gonna deliver what you want at the price point you want, and it's gonna be curated for what you need. But then you start thinking about the Amazons or the Targets of the world, where they are a little bit more design focused. So now we can start thinking about creating special products for special retailers depending on who that shopper is. So to me, it's about finding that right product at the right time for the right consumer and putting it in the right place. And to your point, yes, I think what we will see is our portfolio will start being better linked to be able to tell those life stories.
Right. You have one there?
Yeah, let's get this question up here. Thank you. He's just counting the steps right now.
I don't have
I know you guys are in the retail world, which is completely different from the e-commerce world, which is where I come from. As modern consumers, such as millennials and Gen Zs, we're predominantly focused on, shopping online and D2C, that kind of thing. So we think that in the future, it's going to be where O2O is the most popular way of shopping and bring out the life moments. So as modern traditional retailers, what are your challenges and what are your strategic plannings to move forward to more of a O2O instead of, having online different and then having the offline? Obviously, these are operated by two separate teams, which can have competing, driven agendas. So what are your major company
integrating
plans for that?
The digital and retail teams.
Yeah, online to offline.
Yeah, so I would say we started with an omni-channel approach strategy as we did this, because we know, again, when we think about the shopper's journey, it's not happening in one channel. So we need to be able to link all these things together. So that, from our perspective, that's what we're seeing and that's what we're trying to do. So I would say we're taking an omni-first approach on all of this. Now, I would say your challenges are gonna be different. And so for where you're strictly online, your ability to collect some of this information is far exceeds what you can do in an in-store perspective, especially when we're partnering with retailers. And so when we're thinking about this as like when the shopper gives you the permission to understand where they are in their lives, you can continue that story based off of what the data that you have. So let me give you an example, baby registry. If you're registering for an upcoming baby, well, we know based off of some consumer research that, hey, when you register for your baby, it's usually about your third or fourth month, and then you start having your showers about 6 weeks out from your due date, And then you have your due date, which you have to enter when you create a registry. Now we know that you, about the time that you've had the baby, now we can start sending you different messages, whether that's kind of as you move from infancy to what we call bottle and swaddle phase. We can start talking to you about different levels of products. As you move into your toddler phase, we can start helping you out, not only from a product perspective, but we know that you're gonna need a different car seat for that baby, or you're gonna have to start baby-proofing your house, so we can give you some information to create that engagement with you that might not even be aligned to our products, but we can say, you know what, we know you're entering this phase of your life. Here's some opportunities for you to make sure that your house is baby-proofed. And not only that, we also know that their cooking and their transit and those occasions start changing. So as long as they give you permission to have that conversation with you, the benefit of being on the e-com side is you got a lot more of that information. For us, when we have to work with through a retailer, it's a little bit different, where we got to start having those relationships with the retailer and then kind of encouraging them to have those conversations.
If there's a quick one, we can squeeze it in.
I want to ask one more quick question, because it's really interesting. We had some from TikTok here, and she had a great statistic. It was something like 80% of TikTok consumers said they love watching what people do with housewares. It's how they use them. Mm-hmm. How well does doing this occasion, starting at this point, you know, even when your college fill-in you talked about, I call that the college point where your daughter decides that everything she bought to go original way to college is wrong and she has to swipe everything out. But how well does this set you up for addressing the generations, addressing people as they come into this, and allow you to kind of pivot on different things to better address the way they want messages delivered to them?
Yeah. So one of the, I'll answer that from a research perspective. So one of the things that we're doing is, instead of doing like traditional path to purchase research on our categories, we're starting to think about it as, what is the journey within life moments? That will help us, based off of different demographics, understand how those life moments or those micro moments are different. Where are they going? Who are they looking to? What type of information are they looking for? What are their key needs? And again, by understanding the things that are driving each of these life moments, instead of thinking about it at a product or category level, we can elevate that conversation. So whether that's in terms of what we're creating from an innovation perspective, or whether that's in the content that we might do to support them as they move through these life moments. So I think really understanding the journey that's happening within the context of these life moments, I think is where we're gonna start to see some of that unlock. And to your point, I don't know if you've ever heard of hashtag Bama Rush. That was kind of one of those things that we put in here. We're like, oh my goodness, they're going on here and they're posting their outfits of the day. They're posting how they're creating their dorm rooms. And that is creating a subculture of its own in terms of this college life moment.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us today. Summerly Stern from Newell Brands. That was very, very interesting. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Up next is Joe Derichowski from the NPD Group. I hope you can stick around. We understand that you have a busy day. I am Peter Gianetti from Homepage News. I want to thank you. Leave you with one thought. We talked about life moments, but this industry has an opportunity to celebrate everything. And when you understand that, you can open up a lot of new opportunities. Have a great day. Thanks so much.